Hi, this is Joe Getz of Current Cider in Pennsylvania, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Episode number 82. Hello, and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Wincoller, and I am the producer and the cider MC of this weekly podcast where we speak with makers, enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And this week, we're heading back to Pennsylvania to catch up with Joe Getz of Current Cider. Now, you might have heard me speak about Current Cider before, and in fact, indeed, Joe was on episode number 14. That was last year, and a lot happens in 1 year's time in the world of Ciderville. And that certainly holds true for Current Cider, which will be opening a tasting room later this summer. So hang on to your glasses, there'll be more on that chat in just a moment. If you are new to this podcast, welcome. And if you are a regular subscriber to Cider Chat, thank you very much and good to see you again. I hope your week is going fine. This podcast goes live every Wednesday, and I dub Wednesday Sunset Cider Club Day. That's a time to kind of sit back, turn up the sound, and listen to Cider Chat. And I actually do listen to it again because it helps me kind of hone my skills, see what's going on. I'm like tweaking the podcast all the time to make it as smooth and as enjoyable as possible. And I have to admit, last week I could barely listen to myself. Oh, it was a little bit pitiful. And I don't know if maybe it was the cider speaking through me or what, but I was just kind of going on and on. And I don't want to kind of like beat myself up here because I think this is a darn good podcast. But that's telling me something. This June, I am getting married and time is getting busy. So I think I'm a little preoccupied. So this podcast this week with Joe Getz will be out on time. And I suspect next week too, I have a whole bunch of great podcasts coming up. I'm going to be recording one with an attorney who specializes on beverages and certainly wine and cider and all the dealings with that. So we'll be talking to her. That'll be coming up. I have one with Charles McGonigal. I'm going to be talking to Patrick Meager from Simple Ciders in Tasmania. That's awesome. We're going to talk about some mead and sizers, some of my favorite drinks right there too. There's a lot coming, but I just can't get it all out. I have to take a little bit of a break and get down with my wedding, as you can imagine. So later in this month of June, I think we're going to be skipping 2 weeks. I am so sorry to say that. I know some of you are like, what? But I suspect you will understand and cut me a little slack there and maybe catch up in some other ways by going around and having your own little Sunset Cider Club. Certainly, I won't be putting away my phone. I'll be connected from time to time, but I really want to be able to enjoy this amazing monumental moment in my life. So I just want to give you the heads up there and just hang in because we'll be roaring straight away come probably that last week of June. I might be a little bit late going live on the 28th, but it will indeed go live. My actual wedding day is June 17th, so circle protection on that. And you know there's going to be some cider there. I've been making cider this past year, kind of conditioning it and really nurturing it. And we're going to have a couple kegs of cider that I made. I just did the straight up yeast, no sugar added. I'm loving it. Nothing like the local terroir in that glass. The land just speaking to us. That feels really good. And then a local brewery who I adore, they threw me a keg. That was really, really sweet. So there's so many sweet things happening, you know, when it's all surrounded around love and cider. So that's a heads up there. I hope that'll be a little bit more clear as I kind of step away and clear my head and just focus on again, this really monumental occasion. So that's the news there. And next up, let's say a little hello to all the folks that have been joining the Facebook community at the Cider Chat page. And our first hello goes to Albert, who is part of a Sipping Syndicate, which sounds like a really cool syndicate to be part of. And then there's Richard from California. Richard, it looks like you are doing something there with cider, so that makes a total sense. Dylan from Western Australia. Oh, yeah, Australia. There is so much good cider stuff going on there. You might want to check out Hugh McKellar's blog, Real Cider Reviews. He does a lot of good stuff for cider in Australia. And I did have Sam Reed, who is president of Cider Australia, on and also part of Willie Smith's Cider. And tomorrow, which will be before this podcast goes live, I'm talking to Patrick from Simple Cider in Tasmania. So that's going to be really interesting. So much to discuss about the Australian cider scene. So cool for you, Dylan, and thanks for joining this Facebook page. Then George from British Columbia. And George, it looks like you work at Blue Moon Farm Winery and Cider Work. And I like the way you spell cider work with an X at the end. That's pretty cool. And they have a Facebook page, so do check them out. And now we're going to jump all the way to the other side, to the UK, and say hello to Joseph. And we also have Andy from the UK. Let me see if there's other UK people all that side there. I know there is somebody. Well, I'm not sure. I'm going to jump back here. And we have Graham from Washington State, Joan from Virginia, Ivan from New York, Marina from somewhere out there in the world, Andrew, who has a nice photo of himself, I believe, drinking a cup of Joe. Looks like a very friendly chap. I imagine it's a cup of Joe. Maybe it's a cup, but there's cider in it. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a good idea. Sometimes I do that, too. It's your, like, kind of secret way of drinking cider, and nobody knows. I think you're drinking, like, tea or coffee. Then there's Shane, who has a photo of a mini dragon sitting on his hand. It's really, really cute. And what does that remind me of? That, like, TV show, Game of Thrones. Jeez, that stuff scares me. I watch that show with my eyes closed and my ears plugged at the same time. I get so scared of that stuff. That's why I'm the world of Ciderville with Perry Pear. Tomoko is from Japan, and they just had a big cider collection event there. They call it like the Cider Collection, which is like a cider fest. And that whole scene there is wonderful. There is Carla from Florida, and Ed, who is a cider monger at Gowan Heirloom Cider, and that's in Philo, California. So welcome, Ed. Oh, man, all these California folks. You know I love California. Juliana is from Texas. And hello to Lacey from Pennsylvania. This week, you know, Joe Getz, Pennsylvania. So you'll be catching up on all your local yokel news there. And then there was a page from You Design, We Make It. I'm not sure what you're making there, but thanks for joining the Cider Chat Facebook page. Marie is also from somewhere out in the world, so welcome, Marie. And then there's Taylor from Colorado. Now, speaking of Colorado, if you are anywhere near Colorado in August, I have two sets of tickets to give away to the Cider Circus taking place on August 26th. They actually have a little event the day before. It's a little bit of a smaller scene, and then the circus happens. And that is being put on by the Gypsy Circus Cider Company. And they were just on the podcast last week. And this giveaway ends on June 30th, coming right up. And you have a really good chance of winning some amazing tickets. They're the tickets for the first pour. Each ticket alone costs like $45. So this is a good deal. And it's a circus kind of like atmosphere. And it's going to be at Copper Mountain Ski Resort, which is a really happening scene. I think people connected to Ciderville would really like to hang out in that town, no doubt. And it's coming right up. All you have to do is to subscribe to the Cider Chat e-newsletter. And there's a link on the show notes here, or you just go to ciderchat.com, and you'll see subscribe to eCider News. That's it. And then I'll just be picking a random winner. And again, you have a good chance of getting these tickets. So don't hesitate and subscribe today to the eCider News. And not only will you get into the ticket thing, but you'll also, not the ticket thing, the giveaway, of course. I have to see. I need to take a little bit of a break. I'm just kind of mumbling along here. You will also get updates via the eCider News on some cool stuff coming up in the land of Ciderville. And if you're a patron of Cider Chat, you automatically get entered into that. I'll talk about Patreon later. All right. Well, that's it for now. I think it's about time that we roll into our main chat with Joe Goetz. And Joe, as I mentioned earlier, was on a podcast about a year ago, and that was episode number 14. And I'm really excited to have Joe back on, telling us everything that's going on with Current, all the good news. I really give a big tip of the glass to this cidery. As many of you know, I talk about Current Cider, often thanking them for supporting Cider Chat. And what that means is they joined the Cider Going Up campaign page, and so they're listed there. There's also five other cideries too who have donated over the year, and Current Cider really stands out because from the get-go I said, you know, this podcast is like a lot of work for me to do. It's all out of my pocket, and I get occasional donations, and I thought, well, you know, wouldn't this be great if I put up the Cider Going Up campaign, put out this offer to really promote cideries who are joining, and then give a little kickback. Like for the price of 2 bottles a month, you could be on the Cider Going Up campaign page. I mean, that's pretty a good deal. I certainly drink more than 2 bottles of cider a month. And it's for anyone in the cider trade. And you know what Joe Goetz, he immediately said, you know, I put that out on the Facebook page. And within the same day, he wrote back, done. And that floored me. And ever since, that's been like the only cidery that has joined the Cider Going Up campaign page. I'm not sure why, like to be full on it and to be an active member on the Patreon, but I'm not sure what that tells us about the cider industry, but there you have it. Anyways, getting back to Joe, this is an amazing guy, an amazing cidery right down in Philadelphia, not too far from me. They're going to be having a cider festival in Pennsylvania. We're going to talk about that. And we'll also talk about a little bit of the Pour the Core coming up in October. Some good stuff. So without further ado, let's grab a glass and join this chat with Joe Goetz of Current Cider in Pennsylvania. Want to catch up with you because it's been over a year since you were on Cider Chat, and I know there's been a lot of things happening down in Pennsylvania for Current Cider. So why don't we catch Ciderville up on what's happening in terms of a move from one area? I'm not sure if you're still staying in Percocet, Pennsylvania, and opening an additional site in the area of Philadelphia called Fishtown. What's happening there?
Yeah, so we're doing a lot of things. We keep moving, probably more than we would like to, but when you're small and growing, that's the process sometimes, which is a good thing because it means we're growing. But we still have our production facility, which is going to be in Percocet, Pennsylvania, which is about 45 minutes north of the Philadelphia proper area. So we're keeping our production facility there. And in addition to that, now we're finally building our own tap room, which is something we've never had. We just didn't have space at the production building. And the tap room is going to be in the Fishtown neighborhood of Philadelphia, which is sort of technically the northeast corner of the city near the river.
I'm trying to get an idea of Fishtown. What is the history of that name? You know, because they might need to change it to Cidertown. But is that like, if I was flying into Philadelphia at the airport there, which is on the water too, how long of like a ride would that be just from the airport?
Yeah, so the airport is in what we just call South Philly. You know, if you were to catch a ride from the airport to where our tap room is going to be, it's probably a 20-minute ride straight up 95 along the river. Basically, Fishtown is in what they call the River Wards. So it used to be sort of where the docks were and all the commerce sort of happened in the city, a little north of what's called Old City, which was, you know, more the business district, and we're all, you know, like the Capitol, the old Capitol building and that kind of stuff were Independence Hall. So it's sort of like the original blue collar section of the city that's now seeing a huge resurgence with younger people either migrating from other sections of the city there or migrating from the suburbs back into the city with the regrowth and redevelopment of the area.
What do you expect with cider and in terms of the, you know, Philly is a big beer town, of course, a huge beer town. What's the reception in Philadelphia proper and in Fishtown itself to having a cidery move in the area?
The reception's been great. We've been getting a ton of feedback. That particular neighborhood is going to have, I think, 6 breweries, 5 distilleries, and 2 different cideries by the end of this year, in theory. So it's going to be, you know, kind of alcohol central as far as the city goes. So, you know, cider has been very well received alongside all the breweries and distilleries that are already there. And like I said, there's going to be another cidery that's going to be, I think, 10 or 12 blocks from where we are.
Wow.
So it'll be a great area for sure.
What is the name of that cidery?
That's going to be a company called Original 13.
Okay. Kind of like playing on the Colonial States Original 13. I wonder what that.
Yeah, exactly.
From. Okay.
Yeah, right. A little historical reference there.
Yeah, right. Because Philadelphia was the hot spot for the beginning of this country, no doubt.
Exactly.
So you're moving to this. You're going to have a tap room. Is this like a large spot? And are you making cider there too? Because I've been seeing some barrels on your Facebook posting. I was wondering what's going on.
Yeah. So as far as the actual space goes. We think it's large because we're so small as a company, but it's about 2,000 square feet total for the building. It's an old 1880s carriage house right on one of the main streets in the neighborhood. So it's basically an empty building that we're sort of resurrecting. You know, that has its quirks. It's really fun to preserve the history, but it's also not the easiest thing to do. So we're working through the project as we go, and every day is sort of a new discovery sometimes. So it's mostly going to be a tap room. We're not, like I said, moving any production from our existing facility about an hour north. So we'll have a little bit of a production area in that building. It's basically going to turn into sort of our test lab. Pretty much everything we make there is going to stay within the tap room. We don't anticipate any distribution out of that building.
Can people take growlers to go or cans to go? Anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the tap room will definitely have any and all cans that we do, which is 2 brands right now, available in the tap room, as well as growlers to go. You know, that's sort of the plan for right now.
Mm-hmm. And what about the barrels? Because I'm not seeing anything about barrels on the actual website. I see the 3 main ciders, and I know sometimes it's hard to kind of catch up with the website while you're doing a big move like this, but what's a barrel aging process? And is there one? Is that what I could assume?
Yeah. So we started a barrel project, about a year ago. And it's sort of, it's going to turn into sort of a sour program. We put some cider. It was a single varietal Winchester pressing juice that went into a bunch of white wine barrels about a year ago. We don't have a ton of space even in our main production facility for a barrel program, but I wanted to do one so badly, and we sort of squeezed some stuff in there, and that's actually about to get released. So that's about to come out of the barrel for the first time very shortly here. So we'll have our first barrel release soon, and then after that, those barrels are going to get refilled, and they're going to turn into basically sour barrels, and we'll do some fun you know, Cedra style stuff with those moving forward in the future.
So is that like a wild fermentation that you're doing there? When you say a sour barrel project, I mean, my mind could go in a lot of different directions. That when you're dealing with a whiskey barrel, and sometimes that could leave a little bit of a sour taste. But is it sour because it is that wild fermentation that you're leaning towards?
The juice we put in there originally, that's coming out soon, we did pitch a cultured yeast, but we didn't clean the barrels really. So they got some farmhouse character for this first batch that's coming out, and that's only going to intensify. We're basically not going to sanitize the barrels once the next batch of juice goes into them. So that process will turn into a wild fermentation. So we're not going to repitch any yeast. We're just going to put fresh juice into these barrels, and let whatever happens with those. So they'll sit on the lees. Once we do the barrel fermentation, they're probably sitting on the lees in the wood for 4 to 6 months, depending how it goes, how the aging process goes. And then we'll flip those barrels again every time we empty them. So that's the idea with the barrel project.
Fun. That's really fun. I don't blame you for wanting to get some juice in the barrels there. And you said it's going to be released. So people out there listening right now, how would they be able to get some of this newly released barrel-aged cider?
Yeah. So the stuff that's coming out soon, it's so new and we're so busy, it doesn't even actually have a name yet. But it will in theory be out in a few weeks here. You know, I would just tell everybody to check our social media. We'll definitely be posting it as we have more details. It should be in 750 mil bottles, available all over our area through our normal distribution channels, and at the production facility in Percocet, it'll probably be available there as well. So that's the plan for that right now.
Now, the production facility in Percocet, Pennsylvania, that's based out of a brewery. So when you say it's available, are you serving that at the tasting room at the brewery? Is that what you mean there?
So we rent space from Free World Brewing Company in Percocet. We sublet some of their building, and that's where our production facility is. So we don't have our own tasting room, but they have a giant tasting room of their own in that building. And they do carry whatever we have available. So right now we have cans available in their tasting room of our two cider varieties, Earth and Bees, that we can. They should always have those. And then when we have draft stuff or some special stuff, they'll put usually that on in their tap room as well. So we work closely with those guys, and they're all about cider and having that as an option for their patrons. So that's one place that we can direct people to come get our stuff, even though we don't have our own tap room.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know, and I'm not sure if Ciderville knows, but I know that you also really enjoy beers, and you have a strong connection to the community, the craft beer scene too. I'm wondering now, looking back over the past year or so since you've been starting up here, what has been some of the lessons that you found that are both similar to the craft beer scene, but are really, or is there anything unique to the cider maker in terms of the, well, of course, the production is really different, but just the market in general on how you, you brand or you speak to folks who are interested in a craft libation. What have you found?
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, marketing and trying to figure out where cider fits in a very beer-centric community is one of our most challenging tasks on a day-to-day basis. You know, we sell through a wholesaler that carries mostly beer. They actually just signed their second cider. You know, and the cider scene in Philly, I would say, is pretty strong. But pretty strong translates to a good craft bar having, you know, one cider line. Two is excellent. There's a handful of bars that might have three. You know, so while the market is strong and good reception, you know, for the draft market, if there's, you know, six local cideries who distribute into Philadelphia market, you know, we're all fighting for one tap handle, whereas, you know, a typical craft bar is going to have maybe 10 beer lines. So the ratio is a little tight. The competition's a little tighter. You know, I always recommend having packaged cider available. You know, we went to cans last November, which was huge for us because we can sell those to way more places. And it becomes way easier for our customers to get our cider and take it home and enjoy it.
Right. Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it? Because I imagine the shelf space for the 750-mil bottles, or just bottles in general, is coming at a premium these days at, I don't know, do you call them package stores in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, so that's, you know, sort of a loaded question. The distribution and sales laws here are a little wacky, so you can basically buy cider now, as of last August, pretty much anywhere you can buy beer. So we have bottle shops, bars can sell packaged product. We have beer distributors who can sell cider. There's a wide range of different places to get it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's visit that. Because I know that the Pennsylvania Cider Association, you were a big part of that. Are you still involved at the level that you were before? You were like the vice president, if I'm correct on that. What's happening right now with the government
and
the association?
Absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm still the vice president of the board for the PA Cider Guild. And we have made pretty substantial you know, moves forward in the past year, definitely since our last chat, in getting cider moved forward in the state and recognized in the way it should be. They've also rewritten a lot of the just general liquor code in the state, which benefited the cider industry a lot. Some of the quick highlights for cider being, we used to be limited to distribution of cider under 5.5% only. Mm-hmm. So if I wanted to sign with a wholesaler and get my product distributed widely, all the cider had to be under 5.5%. So it was a huge limiting factor. It created somewhat of a cider desert here in Pennsylvania. No one wanted to import into the state because no one makes cider under 5.5%. Mm-hmm. So that law has been changed. It's been moved up to 8%. So we have the freedom to actually make real cider again, which is great.
If I could just stop you there for a minute. So it didn't really go up in sync with the Cider Act, which I believe is 8.5% on the federal level. Pennsylvania's keeping it at 8%. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, that is correct. So we are actually lobbying right now. The Cider Guild, our main legislative project, is redefining cider. So they did a quick redefinition in the liquor code that got passed last year, but it didn't Meet the Cider Act, as you're mentioning. So we are now petitioning the PA House to sponsor a bill redefining cider yet again to fall in line with the Cider Act on the federal level to match those numbers exactly. And we're getting pretty good traction with that. So we're working with a bunch of representatives. Actually, right now, I was literally dealing with that yesterday to get this bill written and pushed through to match the Cider Act, because that would be, it would make our lives much easier as well.
Yeah, it makes total sense for the market and for the U.S. overall. It absolutely makes sense. So good luck with that. I hope that happens soon. Well, what else is happening with the PA Cider Guild?
The Guild is growing. I mean, we're still, as an organization, pretty young. This is really our second full year of operations in creating awareness. So one of the things we're trying to do is get cider in Pennsylvania recognized as its own commodity. So what that does for us is the state would create an assessment on production. So all cider producers within the state would pay a small tax, basically, on all their production. And then that fund would go to the Cider Guild, or really we would sort of turn into a commodities board, what they call. So the funding would then be used to go towards research of apple growth and development within the state, as well as cover advertising costs for cider awareness production within the state. Similar how you would see like California, like Napa Valley advertising their wine production, those kind of ad campaigns, we would be able to fund finally. So, cider research and education, as well as apple cultivation and agricultural research, are our main goals with what we're doing now with the Cider Guild.
Mm-hmm. Now, Pennsylvania is like really one of the larger states in the union for the U.S. I'm wondering, sometimes there's like Pittsburgh on one side and Philly on the other side, and a big difference in between, that wide open vast there. There's Penn State, where there's a lot of cider programs coming out of there. Are you seeing, though, a rise in the cider community and cideries around, the middle part of Pennsylvania? Because I know traveling through there, I'd see wineries everywhere. Are you seeing a growth in cider there, or is it pretty much east and west side of PA?
There's actually been the most growth, I would say, in the middle of PA as far as cider production goes. Our biggest apple growing region is the Adams County area, which is pretty much in the middle southern part of the state, between both those major metros. There's been a number of cideries who are starting or growing significantly in those areas. We've seen a couple of new cideries in the Lehigh Valley, which is like the northeastern corner of the state. Pittsburgh, I'm unfortunately somewhat disconnected from Pittsburgh just because we don't distribute out quite that far. And those cideries do participate in the Cider Guild, but don't typically make the drive to where we have them in Gettysburg, which is kind of central, but leans toward the east. So it's like you're saying, it's definitely a split state. It's a very big state with two very different sides to it. But as far as cider goes, it's going across the board for sure. But I would say the central region of the state is sort of showing the most growth, which makes sense because it's where the apples are. Growers are realizing, hey, I can sell these apples super cheap to a wholesaler or a repacker, or I can press them and ferment them and have a much more profitable product without doing too much investment or change in their infrastructure. So it's a good value added product for orchards.
Are you seeing orchards planting cider varieties? Because I remember last year it was pretty much dominant on the culinary, and there was still kind of that push to get the growers to think about planting cider varieties. Is there any switch there at all?
We are seeing some changeover still. It's not as much as I would like to see, but getting more funding from the guild to pass that info along to apple growers is part of our mission. So, you know, a lot of the orchards who are changing their orchards over to cider apples are guys who are already making cider and they just want specific things. So while that's great for them, for cideries such as myself, who we don't have an orchard, I typically don't see any increased availability of specific cider apples because whoever's planting them is usually keeping them and not looking to sell them. Hmm. It's getting better, but there's definitely a ways to go for that still.
I'd like to just ask you a question in terms of your own, again, sense of opening up a cidery. And again, looking back like a year ago when I talked to you, how long has Current Cider been in production and selling commercially? How many years is it now?
June will be 2 years of sales.
Okay. So with 2 years of sales in your back pocket there, you're looking forward. I'm wondering, in looking back, is there anything you could share with, you know, the startups there and folks out there in Ciderville in terms of what you saw that you really did right from the get-go, and conversely, what you would have done differently had you known? Is there any aha moments there?
Yeah, I mean, there's two. Well, there's one of each of those things. So on the things I recommend, I can't recommend good branding and marketing enough, no matter what the size of your cidery is going to be or what your plans are. Creating a professional and you know, well thought out brand image is super important and goes a lot farther than most startup companies realize. You know, I'm a little bit skewed in that opinion, maybe having been a graphic designer before this, but, you know, the research does agree with that. You know, it's worth the investment to make sure your company represents what you want it to represent, and it looks good while doing that. So strong brand imaging is something I fully support anybody who's looking to get started. So, you know, find a good designer. It doesn't always have to cost a fortune. People just assume it's super expensive. It doesn't always have to be. That's something I definitely tell anybody looking to get into it. And then something I would have changed is, you know, I would have gotten into the retail taproom sales a lot sooner. We started with basically wholesale. And that's a tough way to make a living. It's definitely a grind, but, you know, having a tap room makes life a little easier financially as far as, return on investment and getting your brand awareness up. If you have an actual location where people can come and connect, it makes a big difference. So I do wish we had built this tap room, you know, at the beginning, or a year sooner, but we're getting to it now, and I think it's going to be great for the company. So, you know, that's maybe a regret. I mean, I don't regret how we necessarily started, but I wish we had done this particular move a little sooner.
Right. That really echoes what was just presented at CiderCon and is now up on the Cider Chat YouTube channel. We have the PowerPoint presentation from the Nielsen Group, which is looking at the U.S. cider trends. And what they saw was it might have leveled off in terms of what you're saying, like wholesale, because you are competing against that craft beer market. But the place that cider is really growing is the on-site sales, such as the tap room, and then folks are able to walk away with a bottle or some cans to go, or a growler too. So that really echoes what we're seeing in the trend, both in your area, obviously, and nationally too. That's really good advice. Now, when is the new tap room in Fishtown going to be open, or when are you projecting in your best made plans to have it open for the public?
We're shooting for end of August. Right now, we're probably still on track for that. But, you know, with any construction projects or major projects like this, we're going to have delays. So realistically, as long as we open before the end of the year, I think we're going to be happy with that.
Great. And I also know that, or I assume that you're going to be at the Pennsylvania Cider Fest, and that's coming up on June 24th down in Gettysburg. Would folks be able to get a sip of that barrel-aged cider there? What will Current be serving?
Yeah, June 24th, PA Cider Fest. It's a really good event. This will be the second one. We had a crazy good time last year. It was amazing. This year, I haven't finalized what we're bringing out there. In theory, we'll have some barrel aged in bottles before then. And if we do, I will bring some and do my best to sample it out for sure. But we'll definitely have some fun stuff. I always do at least one or two one-off kegs to bring out to that. It's June's a crazy month. PA Cider Fest is the end of the month, and then next week starts Philly Beer Week here, which is also just 11 days of craziness. So we're doing a lot of special stuff to squeeze it in here.
Well, that's a good kind of crazy that we all really enjoy. It's the party that we want to join for sure. If folks are going to that Pennsylvania, the Cider Fest on June 24th, they would have a good chance of meeting you there. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be there with a couple of helpers from the team. So we'll be out for the weekend. You know, it's one of my favorite events of the year. Gettysburg is just absolutely gorgeous out there. The scenery is phenomenal. The venue for the event, Hauser Estates, they make Jack's Hard Cider, which is one of the bigger brands coming out of Pennsylvania these days. It's just gorgeous. It's on top of a, you know, rolling hill, and you can see all the orchards all around. It's just phenomenal.
Wonderful. Well, good stuff happening there. And I'm really excited to catch up with you and hear this growth that's happening, because you're living the dream there. And it reminds me a little bit of what we've seen in the craft beer market, where somebody kind of opens up the nano, you're kind of like dipping your toes in it, trying to figure out the market. And that's what cider, that parallel universe, a little bit of finding out where it fits into the community. Is this a viable operation? And then in short order, and I mean really short order for Current Cider, boom, shaka, boom, here you are opening up a tasting room, not out, further out of the city. I mean, right really in the city, which is going to be like a hub of everything, which not only will help Current, but will really help get the voice of cider out there to all the new and interested kind of Uber drinkers, and also for the local community too, who's probably been like, wow, I remember cider, you know, a while ago. I'm psyched to try it now.
Really crazy to think about, even just a year ago, you know, in preparation for everything that happens annually in June, you know, like Philly Beer Week and PA Cider Fest, I was thinking recently about what we were doing a year ago, and it's been crazy to think how far we've come in that very short amount of time. And, you know, launching our cans late last year just opened up a ton of things. We went from last May, for a little perspective, we were selling, you know, maybe 10 kegs a month to two counties. You know, now last month we were moving, something like 40 or 50 kegs in 30 counties now. We just launched in 25 more counties 2 months ago. So,
wow,
it's been a crazy year.
Yeah, that is really shows the growth and the potential there. Well, you're a shining star, and I also really want to thank you for being part of the campaign for Cider Going Up and helping Cider Chat keep on thriving in all that way. For folks who don't know, Current Cider has been a member of that Patreon page for quite a while, and certainly on this end, I really appreciate that. Not only do you look, I think it speaks volumes of who you are, Joe. You're not only just doing your cidery, you're really involved in the PA Cider Guild, and also looking out about around cider around the world. So I so thank you so very much for that and spending time with us today on Cider Chat.
Yeah, absolutely. It's my pleasure to help out the community and do everything we can to expand cider knowledge and get more cider drinkers involved in the community, both in PA and nationwide. So we are more than happy to support Cider Chat, and we'll continue to do so in the future. And we definitely thank you as well.
Thank you, Joe Getz, for giving us a good update on what's happening at Current Cider and that new location in the tasting room. Those are good tips for any new cidery startups to be thinking, you know, how do I get my product to the consumers, the cider drinkers? And a good way to do that is having your own on-site tasting room. So I wish Current Cider the best. We'll be looking for that new tasting room to open in Fishtown, little area of Philadelphia, later this August. I'll keep you tuned here. If you want to see a fun photo, go to the show notes for this particular episode, number 82, and you'll see a photo of the Current Cider logo up at the Phillies Stadium. And they were at a beer fest, and they hung out for the moment when the Current Cider went up on, I don't know if it's called like the Jumbotron or something like that. That's always a really fun thing to see. I'd like to see that like at the Super Bowl or something. That would be fun. And you know, the way Current Cider's going, I wouldn't be surprised because they really think out of the box there. And I wish them all the best and thank them immensely for the support via the Cider Going Up page at ciderchat.com. And I'd also like to thank all the good folks out there in Ciderville who are patrons of a Cider Chat via the Patreon page. It's individuals like you that are really making it happen. Right now, I'm still below that $100 mark and trying to rise up enough so I could not only pay for the hosting service for the podcast, but also work on getting a new recorder. I'm having a little bit of trouble here, and I've been asking for a new recorder like over a year now, and it's tough because I was on a recording session the other day, and I was getting the guest in on Skype, and I think because I use this plugging in, plugging out so many times, it's kind of getting worn out, and I was missing my audio, so that's making it super super difficult. It's just little things in life. It's like having the right tool, you know, if you're pressing a lot of apples and you're having to like hand smash it, just like the Mayador would back in Asturias, right? With a big old wooden like pallet hammer type of thing into a big wooden vat. You know, that's one tool, but nowadays we have something different to make it easier. So it's all about making the job right and easy, whether you're podcasting or making cider. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you to those folks who are patrons. I totally appreciate it. And of course, you are entered into the Cider Circus 2-ticket giveaway. Remember, I have 2 pairs of tickets. So don't forget to subscribe to the eCider News today via ciderchat.com so you could get into that. I will be pulling out random winners on July 1st. It ends on June 30th. So July 1st, I'll have the winners and they'll be listed on the website. There is info about this whole little giveaway at the website. And remember, Cider Circus is out in Colorado. And you do have a good chance of getting in on that. Now, this week, as we roll out of here, I'm going to be playing the full song from that little riff that I've been playing on a couple episodes now. It's that piano tune that's really fun there. Yeah, I like that. It has a really great beat, and it's a really cool band. A while ago, I had Emma Ayers on, and she was singing a fantastic song, an up-and-coming artist, and this week, we're going to play the full tune from the band out of Asheville, North Carolina, called the Screaming Jays. So make sure to wait for that at the end, and you could just kind of sit back and sip that cider and enjoy their fun instrumental. It's like three guys and really cool community of people down in Asheville. If you've never been there, I actually met them up in my spot in Ciderville when they were touring through for about the second time too, and it was great seeing them, and I'm super stoked to be able to share their music with you. So check that out. There'll be a link in the show notes to find out more about the Screaming Jays. I think they do East Coast tours up and down the East Coast, and maybe you'd like to have them stop by because they got a good scene, a nice little kind of entourage that follows them along. In the meanwhile, I'm gonna head out of here and get my cider ready for my upcoming wedding and all the other crazy stuff happening, and I'll be seeing you in the meanwhile next week. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off. Just for now, looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
If you please, don't you pull out in front of me. Hey mister, if you please, don't you pull out in front of me. I see you sitting there trying to decide. Well, just stay put and let me ride. Well, I know it's pretty and you like to look around, but I don't make a dime unless I get into town. I said, hey mister, if you please, don't you pull out in front of me. Hey mister, if you please, don't you pull out in front of me. Well, got to be civil and not argue, so could you just pull over and let me through. Well, I ain't really trying to get that far, but all I can smell is exhaust from your car, you know. Hey mister, if you please, don't you pull out in front of me. Hey mister, if you please, don't you pull out in front of me. If you please, don't you pull out in front of me. Hey mister, if you please, don't you pull out in front of me. Well, we got to be civil and not argue, so I'd like to make a motion just to let me through. Well, if you, I don't make a dime if I get in the town. I know it's real pretty and you like to look around, but hey mister, if you please, don't you pull out in front of me. Hey mister, if you please, don't you pull out in front of me. well, we don't have to be civil and not argue. So could you just pull over and let me through? Well, I'm really not trying to get that far, but all I can smell is exhaust from your car. I said, hey, mister, if you please, don't you pull out in front of me. I said, hey, mister, if you please, don't you pull out in front of me. Well, we got to be civil and not argue, so could you just pull over and let me through? Well, I see you sitting there trying to decide, so just stay put and let us ride. Hey, mister, if you please, don't you pull out in front of me. Hey, mister, if you please, don't you pull out in front of me. I said, hey, mister, if you please, don't you pull out in front of me. I said, hey, mister, if you please, don't you pull out in front of me.
Yeehaw!